Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Thank you. Welcome back. And our next guest is David Humphrey. And David is joining us from Beacon Equity Advisors in Norwood, Mass. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you on. David, we're going to talk about the pothole analysis and value enhancement, the pave the way to greater value. I like the name of that. That's a great idea. It's a great way to put it. And your company is an M&A advisor to microcap companies, correct?
That's correct, Bill. And Bill, we try and take the approach that if you were going to sell your house, you'd clean the front yard up, you'd remulch, you'd paint some walls, you'd fix those things that are making the house less attractive. Mm-hmm. We should be doing the same thing for our business owner clients and helping them look at their business as a buyer might, and point out some of the things that, if they were slightly different, probably would make a significant impact into the value of the business.
It's a great topic, and we've talked about it before. It's so important to have, like you said, that curb appeal, but also with a business, of course, there's a lot more that needs to be appealing underneath, and you know, not just inside and around the premises, but the operations and the strategies and all that type of stuff. David, give us a little background. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about Beacon Equity Advisors before we get into the meat of this topic.
Bill, I come at this approach from several years of being a CPA, and from my accounting background, got into business appraisal, where we were hired and retained by people getting into arguments and fights and disputes and wanting to know the value of the business that was partly because it was related to a court matter or whatever. And that led into the situation of, well, if the business is worth so much in your appraisal and so forth, help me find a buyer that's willing to pay that. And so we did. And we started to put together buyers and start to put together deals. And today we've got a really nice team that's putting together deals for these $5 to $50 million companies all over New England.
And you specialize in helping businesses sell for premiums. I mean, that's what you do with companies. And that's what I was just talking about this, but this is what a lot of our buyers or our listeners, excuse me, are worried about is, you know, I went to a valuation person and they said it wasn't worth near what I thought it was worth. What do I do now? And so that's where you come in with the pothole analysis. And so tell us a little bit more about that. What are some of the key things that you find need to be done in those types of situations when you start with business owners?
Bill, to a degree, having put together hundreds of deals by the team here at Beacon, we also met buyers who walked away from these different companies. And our follow-up conversations with them about why they walked away, we learned an awful lot about what aspects of business were causing a buyer to be nervous. And when a buyer gets nervous, they don't move forward or they're not willing to open the checkbook as wide as the business owner hopes the buyer's going to. And so when you're buying a house, you have meets and bounds for the property. You have a title. It's recorded in the registry of the deeds. The buyer knows exactly what they're buying. But when you're buying a business, you're buying a collection of people, customers, concepts, ideas, patents, inventory, all of that together comes together into a machine that helps generate revenues and profits. And so if we can make a buyer feel more comfortable about the business, we can make them see an opportunity that maybe they were going to be nervous about before. So there's 36 different things that we look at inside each business. And some of them are very simple, from what's the quality of the financial statements, what type of CPA firm do you use, what level of reporting, do you get reviewed or do you get audited statements. So some of them are very simple from that aspect, and some of them are much more complex about who owns the intellectual property.
What are some of the things that business owners have been most surprised about that are on that list that adds value to the transaction?
You know, that's a great question, and I guess to a degree, most business owners know their business so intimately, so thoroughly, that they become comfortable with things that they don't necessarily think of as being different from the outside. Quick little example. We worked with a company recently that, as part of the manufacturing process, emitted VOC gases into the atmosphere, and they had a permit to do so. However, the business had continued to grow, and they were now actually emitting more gases than the permit allowed. So when we discussed that with the owner, his approach was, it's not a big deal. I know all the people down at Town Hall. I can go down and get new permits. But thinking about it from a buyer standpoint, the buyer doesn't know all the people down at Town Hall. The buyer doesn't know the different regulations and the different surveys and the different audits that have already been conducted. The buyer just says, how much are we emitting, and what's my permit, and therefore what's my liability if somebody gets grumpy? And so I think a lot of the times it's not necessarily a particular issue that surprises them as much as changing how they think about their business because they're so comfortable with it.
But this is a very important and interesting point. And validate this for me, if you would, David. I've heard from a lot of M&A folks out there that say, you know, first of all, we need to know who your people are because that has a much heavier weight for a buyer. They're going to want to know who's running this place, who are your key people, and we're going to put maybe a 3x weight on something like that as opposed to your brand, your product, your position in the marketplace, because with the right people, we can make a lot happen here. But each of those people then have specific connections, as you just alluded to, and so we really need to know not only about the people, but why are they important? Who do they know? What accomplishments and what connections do they have? Would that be fair to say?
When we're talking overall value, Bill, you're very much accurate and very correct in that statement that the buyer is placing emphasis on a lot of the people, a lot of the relationships, a lot of the contacts within the business. And that's what drives the bulk of value. But sometimes the value comes down to how do I get a 7.5 multiple on the business rather than just a 7? How do I get an extra quarter of a point or an extra quarter of a multiple in the value? And a lot of that, which for some of these businesses can be substantial dollars, relates back to some of these small little things that are underneath that help somebody feel more and more comfortable. It helps the bank feel more comfortable. It helps the buyer's lawyers feel more comfortable. It helps the buyer's accountants feel more comfortable. And in an average deal, Bill, and your other guests have probably shared this with you as well, there's 17 people involved on the buyer's team that all need to say yes. And so there's a lot of little things that take putting in place to get all those different people on the same page.
Yeah, getting to yes is a difficult task. And like you said, if you think if you're trying to sell your house and they want to look in a closet and you go, no, you can't look in that closet, the buyer's walking away. And guess what? They're going to find out what's in the closet sooner or later when it comes to a business. They're going to have all these people combing over it. They're going to find it out. So you better pull it out, clean up that closet, make sure that it's very presentable, or you can explain why it's like it is and in a good way, right?
Exactly, Bill, which is why we call the process potholes, because potholes are just divots in the road. They're things to be avoided, but they're usually not things that can't get filled in. It doesn't take that much asphalt to make a pothole back into a very smooth road. Mm-hmm. And so if we can work together with a business owner with a little bit of time to help them fill in those potholes, the road to getting the right value for their business is much smoother.
Okay, I love the path we're on here. And, another question I have is, A lot of owners are wondering, how do I, what's the best thing I can do if I had a 1 or 2 page report? What's the most important things I would lead with if to talk to a buyer? What are they going to be most interested in? I mean, and a lot of them are saying, you know, let's face it, the last few years haven't been as kind as before. If they're just looking at the past 3 years financials, well, maybe the last year's not so bad, but the 2 years before that were awful. How do I paint the picture that this is a, you know, 20-year successful business that's been important in the community, and it's a survivor, number one, and it's going places? How do I do that to paint the picture that the future looks much brighter than the last few years past?
And Bill, a lot of that's going to come down to trends and revenue growth. If I only had 2 pages to tell a business story, and often a well-told business story takes a lot longer than 2 pages, but if I only had that limited amount of space, I'd emphasize revenues, growth, and growth. So being able to tell a buyer where the business is going and all of the energy that is put into making the business better, stronger, and faster tomorrow is really what the most interesting and the most savvy business buyers are looking for.
So the story of, what's happened the last few years happened because of the economy, but what we're doing about that, what we're positioning ourselves for in the future, is, you know, because we're talking about usually strategic buyers here. I would imagine these are companies that want to come in and not buy the business as a revenue model per se, but maybe bolted on to get a higher multiple. Is that what you're talking about?
Those are the ideal buyers that we're trying to find. Is the people who see unique properties of the business we're working with and can appreciate it more than just the average person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, one of the things that we try and focus on with these business owners preparing for sale is identifying what they're number one in. What makes your business the best or is a focus of this particular company? Because a buyer, like anybody else, wants to be able to tell others, we own the number one widget manufacturing business in New England.
For our owners who are, they're thinking about, you know, can I just tell an owner, or can I just tell my buyer about this stuff and smooth things over? I mean, do I really have to do a lot of work on some of these pothole issues? What would you tell a business owner about that?
I guess I would suggest to most of these business owners that these buyers today who have the cash, have the checkbook, and are looking to do something are also fairly sophisticated people with fairly sophisticated teams and bright, energetic advisors. And so the wink and the nod may go over just fine if it's a convenience store or a pizza restaurant, but doesn't really work well when you're a bubble or cylinder manufacturer or when you're distributing any one of a variety of other products. As the business gets larger, the ability to be able to present to all 17 people on that buyer's team becomes critical. And so an error in the financial statements turns off somebody on that team. Not having the intellectual property identified well turns off somebody on that team. Having too many family members that are squabbling inside the business turns off somebody on that team. And so, no, these really aren't things that you can fix later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're things that the initial impression goes a long way of getting everybody on board. And for a lot of these sophisticated buyers, there's a handful of people who are doing a pre-screening. And if it doesn't match the pre-screening criteria, it never goes any further than those 1 or 2 reviewers. And that's not in your best interest.
So you're talking about a checklist of about 36 items that you guys look at. How many do you think are on the checklist that these pre-screening buyers are looking at? How many items do you think there are on there? And what are you talked about some of the major ones just now, but what do you think their biggest their biggest issues are.
And again, I'm going to say it depends on who that individual person is. It depends on who that person got burned by last time. It depends on that person's background. So if the reviewer is, you know, a former accounting person, he's going to focus on financial issues. If the reviewer is an engineer, he's going to have a lot to say on how does the engineering of the product look. If the buyer used to be a COO, he's going to be very interested in operations and inventory control. So you never really know which aspect of your business is going to get or appeal to or turn away individual reviewers.
Fair enough.
Which is why the whole business needs to be set up well.
That's a great answer to a vague question. I apologize, because it really, you can think about it. If you're a restaurant, you're going to want to focus on even your social media, your Yelp, you know, what people are saying about you on Yelp. I mean, your buyers are going to see that, you know, there's a lot of information out there that's magnified by a lot of social media out there. So that might be a place you need to clean up, right? Or service providers.
Exactly. I mean, even to the extent of, you know, one of the potholes is brain drain. Who in your, and this really alludes to your question from a little bit earlier, who in the organization has individual knowledge? And so in a restaurant, how important is the chef? In a manufacturing business, how important is the engineer? What doesn't exist on a piece of paper that the buyer can see and look at? But how do we convey knowledge and experience and part of the culture of the business so that we know it will make the transition to the new buyer team?
It's great stuff. Now, we've talked about a lot of things like tips and ideas already. Do you have any other final tips for our listeners, David?
I guess the final tip is think about your business from the outside. Mm-hmm. If you were to buy your house, you'd stand on the street and look at the house and go, what do I like and what could be better? If you're going to sell your business at some point, stand outside it and look in and say, where are all the things that we do very, very well, and we want to promote those to the nth degree? And what are the things that really make us nervous? What things keep us up at night? And let's work over the next 6, 12, 18 months to cover those up, to patch those over so they don't keep you up at night. And that the way the buyer's going to feel more comfortable and put together a better offer.
Now, how would our listeners best get in touch with you and find out more about the PAVE or the pothole analysis and value enhancement that you do?
Beacon is a New England-based firm. Our headquarters are here in Boston. Easiest way to find us is probably on the web at beaconequityadvisors.com. Mm-hmm. You can reach me directly at 781-551-8000, and I'm at extension 101.
And on your website, are there articles, tools? What type of things do you have on your website?
We've got a pretty good blog, Bill. We've got a pretty good list of different businesses and industries that we've worked with. We work hard to try and tell some of our story.
So for our listeners out there, you know, you think about it, you need people who have been there and done that when it comes to selling a business, but you also need someone to be able to tell you industry by industry where the potholes usually are, and then gives you a measuring stick to measure up to that. And it sounds like something your firm can do, David, right?
With all the deals that we've had, we've put together, with all the different buyers we've met with for each of these different companies, yeah, I think that we bring a fair amount of expertise to this process that really does enhance value.
Well, I would love to have you on the show again, because I think we can go a lot deeper, maybe industry, but pick a few industries next time and go into some of these potholes that you usually see to help our listeners create their own awareness of what they should be thinking about with their business. So thanks very much for joining us today, and I look forward to the next time we talk.
Thanks, Bill. I'd love to be back and do this again.
All right. Beacon Equity Advisors, ladies and gentlemen, they're New England's leading advisor for selling interesting businesses for premium values, and they do that by telling better stories about your business. So get in touch with them, beaconequityadvisors.com, or 781-551-8000 to talk to David Humphrey. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. So please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.